Yeah, I used to teach at LSU, and I tell the story a lot. There were two young men in the farm management class that sat in the way back, and there were two chalkboards. There was the chalkboard I would use, and there was the chalkboard they would use. And about 15 minutes with class left, they would get bored, and they would write me a note that would say, "It's time to go." So if somebody gets up and writes that note, it's in keeping with the spirit of people in Louisiana with respect to that. Having said that, let's see, how does this go? There we go. All right. Been a while. It's been several years since I've been at a Beltwide, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. I've had a wonderful relationship with leadership at the National Cotton Council for years. Gary Adams, actually Craig Brown, and I were at LSU together and worked for the rice industry. So the ties go way, way back, and appreciate that. I'd also like to say at this juncture, and we'll get into this a little more at the later end of the presentation, but the work that was done on the part of the cotton industry and other commodity groups and farm organizations as we went down the stretch this last October, November, December with the Bipartisan Budget Act, the work and support of your industry and others in support of crop insurance is greatly appreciated. So let's make note of that and not let that pass by. Also, in terms of getting to know one another, I've been in Kansas City for many years, and it would not be right to not mention the recent great things in Kansas City. We're still coming off the World Series championship. We haven't forgot that. The Chiefs now have got to the playoffs, and then being a KU basketball fan, the win over Oklahoma in three overtimes the other day. So if I get a little, you know, preoccupied with other things, it's been a big sports week there again. All right. With that, let's talk about what we're going to do today. Let's do a little crop insurance industry background, an NCIS backgrounder. We'll go through that pretty quick. Let's do a national snapshot of what's going on with the crop insurance program, quote-unquote, at the national level. And then what I did is I went sort of state by state through the cotton states with premium loss experience and some things going on there. And let's sort of go through that. And then we also are going to take a look at some coverage level changes from 2014 to 2015 with some stacks participation. And let's sort of see what we can glean out of that, although that's only a year-to-year comparison. And then tie that into the larger issue of what's going on in terms of crop insurance with respect to affordability, availability, what are the big program issues facing the industry. Right. With that, we are a not-for-profit trade group. Our members are the crop insurance companies that actually write this business. Basically, everybody that writes it is an NCIS member. We are licensed by state insurance departments as a statistical agent. Our functions, very similar to what goes on at the Cotton Council. We do a lot of work on the crop insurance program in terms of policy analysis, loss adjustment procedures, legal analysis, and agronomic research. That said, I am not the policy loss adjustment guy, so if you have specific questions on policy provisions and loss adjustment stuff, I will have to say, write it down, give me your phone number, and we'll deal with it from there. I am not the weeds guy. We also do economic and actuarial analysis. Education and training is big for us. We have loss adjustment schools across the country, national training conferences, and this next to the bottom crop hail advisory organization. We, with the state insurance departments, we collect the data from the company, we process it, and we report that back to the state insurance departments and companies for the state-regulated portion of the business use that to file their rates. Then we also have a public relations industry outreach component to our organization. So wherever there's an economy of scale in the industry for service, we tend to pick up that mantra. It's sort of like your job description, all of the things required as necessary that you see, item number 6 on your job description. crop insurance research. We have about 25 projects with the major land grant universities across the country. The little blip up there north of Montana is not a mistake. We have some Canadian members. There's no cotton that I'm aware of in Saskatchewan and Regina, but we do some research up there. On the cotton research, you see a little TBD down at the bottom. We've got four projects going on, one at Clemson, one at Mississippi State, and two in California. We do the agronomic research. We've got two PhD agronomists on staff, and we develop the procedures that the industry uses. We'll do test plots on defoliation, stand reduction, all that sort of stuff, mainly targeted at the hail business, and that gets incorporated into the procedures that the adjusters actually use in the field. We want the procedures to be science-based, agronomically based, so that the competition is on service, and in this line of business, on price, not on the, you know, how the loss is being adjusted in terms of is it a 10% loss or a 20% loss. Other collaboration efforts, like any good association, we've got a committee for about anything under the sun. We look at actuarial and statistical issues, data collection, data quality, processing, communications and outreach, working on the procedures, both policy and loss adjustment, our training and education function, etc. We also do a lot of work with the land-grant universities. We spent a lot of time in 2014 on Farm Bill implementation. We work with RMA on a daily basis, trying to get the provisions of the 2014 Farm Bill out the door. Industry background, people have actually written this stuff for quite a while. We have two of our current members who are, I'd say, long in the tooth. There's a company, a family-owned operation, the Rutledge family, out of Des Moines, Iowa. They've been writing stuff since 1893. Great American out of Cincinnati of Ohio can trace crop policies back to 1915. This loss adjustment research and development of procedures goes back to the early 1900s. Actuarial development bought one of the first mainframes back in 1948 to collect the data and process it. Currently have 17 companies writing this stuff at the national level. All right. Who's in crop insurance? Obviously, you, the farmer, the crop insurance companies and their staffs. There's both federal and state regulation, and our organization deals with a fair amount of that. Also, there's the political aspect of it. The USDA is administered through the Risk Management Agency, House and Senate Agriculture staffs, and then at the state insurance department regulators. A breakdown of who does what. This is on the federally regulated side of the business, the private companies. There's 17 of these, as we mentioned. The USDA has a staff of over 400 people. They have offices in Kansas City and Washington, D.C. In terms of product development, either the private companies can develop products and or USDA. Sales and services done by the private industry. Government does not do service and sales for the business. Premiums are collected by the companies. Premium rates on the federally subsidized, federally reinsured business is set by the government, not by the private companies. Underwriting, both government and the company share in the risk of this. Claims are paid by the companies. Quality control performed by the companies, and the feds are the regulators. Benefits of regulatory oversight prevents fraud, waste, and abuse, protects you, the farmer, taxpayers, and shareholders. The regulatory aspect of this business is a good thing. A little more on who does what. This is more of a breakdown with respect to what's done federally, in terms of federal regulation, the Risk Management Agency, and the state insurance departments. Premiums for federally regulated crop insurance, those are subsidized, or the premiums discounted by the federal government. For the stuff you buy, crop hail, it's regulated by the state. That's set by the individual companies. In terms of the perils that are covered, multi-peril, all risk on the federal side, and then basically named peril programs on the state-regulated part of the business. All right. for the companies that we represent at NCIS, the document you will hear referred to as the Standard Reinsurance Agreement. You will see it in the press a lot. It's a subject of controversy and concern from time to time, but that's the agreement between the companies and the risk management agency that these are the marching orders for the companies. This establishes the terms under which FCIC provides reinsurance and subsidizes quote-unquote eligible crop insurance contracts. By regulation, these companies must be in good financial standing and in compliance with state law. Again, this mesh between state and federal regulation. All right, so what does this mean? All right, what is it like? Land area insured. You go back to 1981 when the private sector first became more actively involved in sales and services. There was less than 50 million acres insured nationwide. It's currently up to around 290, 295 million acres. And if you look at the top green line, you've got an average from 81 to 2014 of about 328 million acres, currently at about 327. So we're insuring roughly 90% on a nationwide basis. Cotton has a high participation rate as well. How high are the coverage levels? In 96, less than 10% of the acres were insured at 70% or higher. You can see the participation gains in terms of depth of coverage. Now over 80% of the acres is covered at 70%. Participation by crop, feed grains, corn and soybeans are the major drivers. Food grains at 10%, cotton at 4%, specialty crop nursery 14%, and then you wouldn't have a chart without another category. So what's in that 4%? I have no idea. Somebody knows. Specialty crop coverage. If you look at it at a nationwide, used to be back in 2000, around $7 billion of coverage in specialty crops, now over $14 billion. So the program has moved and become more diverse. New product introductions. This is coming from the federally regulated side of the business. Over 100 new products have gone through the process of being approved and provided by the private sector for growers in the U.S. And this includes the recent product lines out of the Farm Bill, Stacks, SCO, etc. Crop Hail, the state regulated part of the business, that runs about $1 billion in terms of premium nationwide. Major states, those in the Corn Belt, where it hails the most. Texas, about $57 million in premium on the hail business. The nationwide summary for federal crop insurance, about $110 billion in liability with a premium of about $10 billion. You look at the major corn-growing states, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, sort of topping out the list. Texas has about $980 million of premium. This is for 14. And then I computed the liability per acre on the far right side, and you can see that it doesn't quite line up with cost of production per acre, but you know, it's as close as it can. Nationwide summary in terms of acres, leaders again, corn and soybeans, about 160 million acres of those, cotton coming in at about 10.4 million acres for 2014. I sort of like to walk away from talking too much about 215 in terms of the actual final numbers because they're just not in yet. We're just finishing out the season, although we'll talk about 15 coverage levels a little bit. This is a chart where the industry will spend a lot of time with. This is the profitability metric in insurance, the loss ratio. If you look at the bottom, the metric is indemnities divided by premium, what you paid out versus what you collected. For the federal program, the key is this line right there to 1.0, meaning that you paid out as much as you collected, okay? So anything below the 1, usually profitable for the industry. Anything above the 1, not so profitable. We're going to talk about this specifically in terms of cotton here in just a few minutes. 88 was the big drought in the Midwest. 93 was the major flooding occurring in the Midwest. And then 94, 95, in 95 you saw the first year of the Crop Insurance Reform Act. And after that, you get large-scale participation. If you think back to that earlier slide on the increase in acreage, and that has a huge difference in how crop insurance performs. And you'll see this over and again. It repeats itself at a national level, repeats itself in terms of state performance for cotton. So let's get to cotton. About time, 30 minutes. I'm holding you from lunch in the quarter. I realize that. All right, there's two things going on in this chart. The red jagged line is the loss ratio. That's indemnities over premium. And then the green bar is the loss ratio of a 1. And then the other bars are simply the premium. All right, and this will pretty much be a recurring theme for all these states. Not entirely, but close enough for quote-unquote government work. Green line is the break-even on loss ratio. Stuff below here is good, stuff above, not so good. Here, starting at 94, 95, you'll notice that you get the participation pickup when the 1994 Crop Insurance Reform Act was passed, and that affected all crops nationwide. You get a big surge in participation. Premium for Alabama is about $10 million for the state. It jumped now. Currently, it's over about $20 million. And then you get a big spike in 2011 due to the price that cotton was insured for. In 2011, I think the spring price was $1.15. Currently, it's about 60 cents. Okay? So the other factor that drives premium is the price of the asset. Got anybody here from Alabama? One Alabaman. All right. Go Tide. Or Auburn. All right. Arkansas. Got anybody here from Arkansas? Go Pigs. All right. Okay. Get the crowd into it. All right. Again, you get a big jump in 94, 95 due to the Crop Insurance Reform Act. Also, there's a big spike here in 2000. I think a couple of things are going on there. There was the ARPA, Ag Risk Protection Act. There was a change in the subsidy schedule there, so you see a jump in participation due to the effective change in price. 2011, again, you have a much higher price for the insured crop, so you get a big jump there. Thing you notice here about Arkansas is once you get the participation started and you get more people into the risk pool, the loss ratio performance gets a lot better. Here's the one, all right? You start getting participation, you get much better actuarial performance. And this is it's an important thing for cotton. It's an important thing for the entire program. Georgia, similar pattern here. Not much participation until the 94 Act. Then you get up to around $30 million for premium in Georgia. Again, you see the big spike due to the price increase for 11. But if you look at the jagged line, falling well below 1 consistently, starting in about 94. Louisiana, a little dissimilar, but Louisiana, I lived here for about 5 years. It's sort of its own place, for sure, which is not a bad thing. But you see, with the exception of 2008, I believe you had a hurricane in 2008 and maybe some excess precipitation in 2000. Pretty good performance in terms of the loss ratios starting again in 94. And you get some big spikes in premium depending upon price and subsidy. And I think sometimes, because these states are smaller, companies will move in and out of these states. So you may have some effects going there in the market of somebody taking an aggressive position in a particular state. Mississippi, not too dissimilar, big spike in premium 2000. That's probably, again, the subsidy change. North Carolina, similar pattern to the above. I believe a little droughty in the early 2000s. Do we have any Tar Heels or Dukesters? NC Staters. No North Carolinians in the audience? Okay. All right. Well, let's go and see. South Carolina, got anybody? All right. Moving on. All right. Tennessee actually pretty good actuarial performance. Loss ratio has been well below one almost every year since the mid-1990s. Virginia, similar pattern. All right, Kansas, there is a little cotton in Kansas. I've actually driven by this. It's an I-35 right as you're crossing in. I'm serious, it's there.
You saw it all, didn't you?
Pardon?
You saw it all.
Damn near, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I almost drove off the road, quite frankly. But it is there. You can find it. Missouri got some cotton in the Boot Hill, and that has done pretty well as well. Oklahoma jumps around a little more. You got drought conditions there. Some of these losses due to failure of irrigation supply. Just, you know, more variable climate in Texas. And Texas jumps around quite a bit as well. But again, notice how much more variable those loss ratios are when you don't have much participation. California, similar as well. Arizona. All right, now we're going to go to something else. All right, these are the coverage levels, and this gets into how things would likely or will change as a result of the Farm Bill. These are the coverage levels from 14 to 15, and acres is on the vertical axis. On the horizontal axis is the 50% coverage, 55% coverage. The red and blue, crimson and blue, those are KU colors, picked by yours truly. But anyway, you'll notice for Alabama, not too much change. You get a little drop in coverage level on the 65% level. This bar on the far right sticks up so much. What is that likely to be? That's stacks. That's the level of acreage in stacks. 160,000 acres of stacks in Alabama so far for 15, and that number is probably pretty solid. All right. Arkansas. Look at the reduction on the far left for me from blue to red, drop in 50% level coverage, and a blip on the far right of stacks. And then you get a little shifting in the middle of, you get a little jump up of 70% coverage and a little jump down on the 75. I realize this is a little tedious, but I think after we watch this a couple of years, we're going to learn more about how this Farm Bill actually is working, and specifically in the case of cotton, where there was the move to the stacks program, get a feel for how that will actually perform and what the adoption is going to be. Georgia gives a little more dramatic picture of this. You see the reduction in the 50% coverage level here, big drop in 60, not so much here, not even here. Then you get stacks acres at, what's that? Yeah, in Georgia there's about 500,000 acres of stacks so far. Louisiana, you get a big reduction in 75% level coverage. Big drop in individual buy-up, pretty healthy chunk of stacks protection, about 40,000 acres there. Hold on, I'm a man of two screens. All right. Mississippi, reduction at the 75% coverage level, and just under 140,000 acres of stacks there. North Carolina, over 160,000 acres of stacks there. Not too much change in the coverage levels, which is sort of interesting. So it'll be interesting to see how the companies market this stuff and how this gets into the marketplace. South Carolina, not too much change in the coverage levels. Over 80,000 acres of stacks. Tennessee, major reduction in coverage level at the 75%, drops quite a bit, and you get a moderate, about 40,000 acres of stacks so far. Virginia, small state, not much change in coverage levels, but a fair amount of stacks participation. Kansas, we drove by it a few minutes ago, we can keep driving. That's I think I missed it. Okay. Missouri, some stacks, not too much. My guess is being in the Boot Hill, they will probably stay with a lot of their individual coverage. Notice the jump in 85% coverage from 14 to 15. Oklahoma, pretty good stacks participation. A shift in the 70% and 75% level coverages. Texas, some drop-offs in individual coverage at 60 and 65%. Big drop in 75 with some stacks participation. All right. I'm going to jump to Arizona. Lots of stacks, big jump in 80 and 85% coverage. Okay. And I think the $64,000 question here to bring this to closure, this set of slides, is what's going to be the uptick on stacks? It's an area plan. Area plans are, quote unquote, we got Joe Outlaw in the back of the room. What's the word? They are not. Well, that's been the most of your career has been not helpful. We go back a ways. I could say that at least for now. Bankable. They're not bankable. In other words, it's not individual coverage. Okay, so that's a problem with the area coverages. We'll see what the adoption is. The other factor that's floating around here in the Farm Bill is the yield exclusion provision, where farmers can go back through their database with their agent, and those yields that are lower than the county, those get reduced. They get a higher coverage level. Okay, and so that yield exclusion provision will impact the effective amount they get to pay for 75-85% coverage. We'll see if there's a shift there. I think it's way too early to tell, but I think in terms, again, I'll say it three more times, is as we see this farm bill progress over time, what's going to be that interplay, particularly for the cotton industry, between yield exclusion, individual buy-up coverage, the importance of individual coverage, my perspective on financially, it's a much more, you know, it's essentially much more solid collateral than an area plan. We'll see how this plays out in the farm management context. All right, so let's go back to the overall program. And being an ex-retro person, I had to go with the old Elton John lyric of Where to Now, St. Peter. And I think there's three things that drive what's going on here. A, if you look at it from a social policy standpoint or social, we've moved to risk management through crop insurance, okay? How are we doing on time? Okay, all right. Nobody's gotten up and written anything in the back, although people have left. But anyway, we do have a commitment of using risk management, and that looks like where we're going at the national policy level. Cotton took a major step with its move to stacks, quite frankly. We have done a lot of work on ascertaining what the attitudes are towards crop insurance and agricultural policy. In our survey results, we did about 1,000 folks in 14 right after the Farm Bill. And basically, the general public may not know much about farm policy. They may not know much about crop insurance, but when explained at a very common sense basic level, there's uptake on that. And it's much more preferred or highly preferred to ad hoc disaster. We did a focus group in D.C., and part of the comparison was between what happened in Sandy on the northeast coast, where you had to go back and try to get disaster aid. And for those of us in agriculture, you can imagine the frustration and the difficulty it would be and the heavy lift to get disaster aid at this point in time versus a crop insurance program that's ex ante before the fact. Okay, long-term success. I think three keys, and I say this a lot, is availability. If crop insurance is widely available, if you look in the case of cotton, you've got individual coverage program choices, you've got the stacks program, so it's available, widespread. Is it affordable? I think of the $10 billion or so in the USDA budget for crop insurance, about $7 billion of that, or the majority of that, is producer subsidy. And so how affordable is that premium? If you track this over time, you will see that gains in participation are made when the premium's discounted and you get high levels of participation. Private sector involvement, the viability of the services our companies provide, that's key as well. We think we heard through the Farm Bill, and we think through the bipartisan Budget Act event we went through with the transportation bill, I think you got a more than enough support for private sector delivery, or it was very evident. Availability, I think the new Farm Bill does this, both regional and product. If you look at it over time, in 1997, there were about 22,000 programs of federal crop insurance across the country, the different options, units, specifications, all that sort of stuff. You blow that up to 2014, there's about 62,000. So there's lots of choices out there for the farmer. Affordability, hit on this. In the 1938 Act, the expense exhibit, delivery expense was not covered, or was covered, no premium support. 1980 Act, 30% up to 60% coverage, no support above 65. 94, 2000, 2008, more premium support. In 2000, they did away with the differential between the revenue plans and the yield protection plans, put those on equal footing. Delivery expense, the what's referred to as the administrative and operating expense, that's paid on behalf of the farmer. In a normal insurance program, this would be loaded into the premium. Okay. Two key points here. Adequate participation, as you saw from the graphs, state by state across the cotton industry, and it holds for the rest of the U.S. You get adequate participation, you get reasonable actuarial results, which, you know, helps with private sector involvement. Adequate participation, it also reduces the political demand for ad hoc disaster, which I think in this day and time would be a very tough sell. What are the levels of cost sharing and affordability? Farmer has deductibles. You guys are going 70% coverage, so you got a 30% deductible, etc. You've got your premium costs that you pay at an annual or at an aggregate level. It's about $4 billion of what farmers pay for crop insurance. Insurance companies, infrastructure and risk sharing, businesses that they operate, crop insurance agency force, important presence in the rural economy and the infrastructure and the jobs they bring. The reinsurance companies, a lot of this is backed by international reinsurers. Companies will not take all this risk themselves. They will lay some of this off internationally and their domestic reinsurance companies as well. Taxpayers, they do provide premium support and risk sharing. Viability. There have been, the last several years, have not been stellar returns for the companies. There's been some transition in the industry, and we'll see how that plays out. Some of the tipping points there, 2000 Farm Bill, reduced delivery expense reimbursement. In the reinsurance agreement that I mentioned earlier, A&O was also capped, and then the risk-sharing revenue was also reduced by about $6 billion over 10 years. 2012, 2013 were not great actuarial years for the industry. 2012, you had the big drought. You had a big price decline in 2013. The lyrics are provided by Jackson Browne in an earlier day and time. Headwinds, what do we see? Lower commodity prices. We already had a discussion about that and the market outlook for cotton. It's also true of other commodities as well. Federal budget pressure, this is not going away. We've mentioned the Bipartisan Act a few times. We will face appropriation challenges probably for the remainder of most of our careers, quite frankly. In summary, though, I think both in cotton and the industry at large, the program has good political support and a positive public image. Are there well-positioned critics of the industry and of the program? Yes, indeed. You don't have to go very far to find that. The economics, I think on all sides of the equation, the margins have narrowed. It's a higher risk involvement. the future. I'd say in general the Farm Bill is a positive in terms of availability, and then I think the keys to others, we'll see how this plays out, is affordability and viability of the program. And with that, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thanks for all your support over the years, and any questions, comments, and or... No, I'm not a fan of advocating for a drought. that was a comment made up here. I think in terms of the stacks and the individual coverage, let's go back to Texas since you raised it, and let's just look at the deal. Okay. Stacks, you've got about 1 million acres of it. Okay. So that's not too bad. You didn't have much reduction. Let's see, at the 75% coverage level, you had a fair drop in acreage there. Okay, so I think the question is going to be, Joe, although he's not helping today, right, is what's going to be the interplay with the yield exclusion provision? I think, to me, he's nodding his head, he's helping. I think that's the key, is what's going to be the trade-off between individual coverage and how the area plan pays out. I think the other issue with stacks is you had, what, 60 cent price on it, too. So an area plan that's revenue-driven with a low price, perhaps some low uptake there. I'm of the mind, let's give this a couple more iterations and see what happens. It's too early to tell. It's only 1 year.
Was SCO available for cotton?
They can get SCO on cotton.
And, well, is some of that in that 90% figure?
No, we checked that. That's only stats.
That is only stats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much. I didn't bring any SCO stuff. Pardon? Yeah, I don't think there's. SCO is probably the least performing, I would say. If you had fair, you know, I forget what the total acres of this is on stacks nationwide. You had a lot more stacks than SCO. Yeah.
Who did the actuarials for the stacks? RLA?
Mm-hmm.
So, on the ARC, it's a county by county basis. On the stacks, it's an area wide basis. On the area wide basis, for us in Louisiana, it may take 2 counties, may take 40 miles to come up with. I don't know how those actuarials come out, but for the most part, it's hard for us to figure out how to stack in Louisiana works. You either have to be in that 1 or 2 counties that has enough cotton in it,
mm-hmm.
and cotton acres have reduced so much in Louisiana, or you're getting pulled in with guys 2 counties over.
Yeah, this is.
And in the ARC deal, it's county by county, no matter how much of that commodity is in that county.
Yeah, actuarially, developing even individual coverage is a problem with how much data you have in one county versus another. We run into this on the hail business, particularly in these states, and I don't know exactly how RMA did each one of these, but they spent a lot of time, I think, with the Cotton Council on designating the states and how the data, you know, what yields could be used. I think there was a lot of RMA yields that went into producing the rates for stacks. It's when there's very little data, it's just a tough problem. You know, I mean, that doesn't make it easier for you, the farmer, but pulling those counties and deciding which counties are contiguous and how to...
So we were able to get that data for the grain. Not the cotton, but that day, he was one like me, my God, the ARC came down with the data. Give another answer. Well, cotton got that out. We got carries with 500 acres of corn, 1,000 acres of wheat, whatever, army came out all the day. FSA came out. But cotton couldn't come up with the same.
I don't have an answer standing here today for you on that issue.
Other questions?
Okay. Hey, thanks a bunch. You guys have a good meeting.